Thank you, Sister Janice. That's kind of odd. Just a few days ago, me and Brother Greg was talking about that song, I think. I hadn't heard it in years and years. Through it all. Hearing that song as a child, take your Bible and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hearing that song as a child, I had no idea what it meant. But having come through some things, now I understand. Amen. I understand why all those older folks at White Oaks would shed big old tears while they sang that song. Amen? And what a blessing. Thank you, Miss Janice. That was wonderful. 1 Peter chapter 5, one verse of Scripture tonight, and I'll relate to some other places in the Bible. But I want to look at one verse of Scripture tonight and try to be a help to you. 1 Peter chapter number 5, are y'all there? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Very familiar verse of Scripture, but one I'm afraid we don't pay enough attention to. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, the Bible said, "Be sober." That don't mean not just don't be drunk. Amen. To be sober means to be aware of your surroundings and what's going on in your life. Amen. A lot of the times the devil moves into our lives and we don't even realize he's done it till it's too late. So he said, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant, I meant to look it up. But I think it would mean something akin to consistent. Always. Always paying attention. Be sober, be vigilant for your, say the next word with me. Adversary. Now, I want you to look at that personal pronoun right there before the word adversary. What kind of enemy was it? Your enemy. You understand that. He didn't say, be sober, be vigilant for the church's adversary. He didn't say for the preacher's adversary. He said for your adversary. And you need to understand what an adversary is. There's an advocate, that's somebody who's for you. But there's an adversary, that's somebody who's against you. Yes. Amen? And let me just nail this down just for a safe measure. The devil is not for you. Yes. Never has been, never will be. He hates your guts. Amen. 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 He said, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. Watch this now. As a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The word devour means to consume. Sometimes we think of that thing of being devoured as being killed. You can be consumed and still be alive. You can get consumed by the things that are going on in your life, and you can get consumed by things that people are saying behind your back or on their filthy, rotten, straight out of hell Facebook. Somebody said, do you think it's wrong to have a Facebook? No, I don't. But I think it's wrong to talk about other people on your Facebook. Amen. If you want to put pictures of your baby and talk about how your trip was to Panama City, fine. But when you start jotting things down about other people's lives or other people's sin, you have become an advocate to the adversary. But that thing can consume you. When you're worried about what other people are saying, Amen. When you're worried about what other people are doing, you can become consumed by the fact that you have no job. You can become consumed by the fact that your health has failed. You can be consumed by the fact that your father is gone. Hey, we've got to be careful that the devil doesn't use things in our life to consume us.
Amen.
The devil can use something even to the effect, and I don't think this would ever happen. The devil can use something such as God taking Brother Jay home and use that to consume Jason and Sharon, make them bitter at God. So he said, be sober, be vigilant for your adversary. And you need to get that through your head tonight. You have an adversary. And the devil is out to get you, and the devil is out to get me. As Christians, we walk around with a target on our back, and the more we do for God, the more he's aiming at us. Amen. There's a wonderful thing about finding God's will for your life. But when we find God's will and we begin doing God's will in our life, our adversary will be revealed. You say, well, the devil's not really bothering me right now. You ain't doing nothing. I guarantee you, if the devil's not on your case, you ain't doing a cotton-picking thing for God. But if you're running a bus route, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, whatever the case may be, if you've just vowed to pray for your preacher every day, the devil is after you. Amen. So God's will for our life will always, always reveal our adversary, our enemy. When Joseph discovered God's will in a dream and told his family about it, it wasn't long they hated him. They plotted against him. You know the story. He gets thrown in the pit. Then sold into slavery, and then accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, and then imprisoned for all those years. It just seemed like trying to do right didn't bring about nothing but wrong. And if we're not careful, when the adversary shows himself and reveals himself, if we're not careful, we'll start pointing the finger in the wrong direction and we'll get sidetracked off of it and we'll fail to fulfill God's will in our life. Amen. Amen. Queen Esther, no sooner had she found her new king than Haman, the enemy, showed up. Would you agree? Nehemiah, cupbearer to the king Artaxerxes, had a burden to rebuild the broken walls of the city of Jerusalem. No sooner did he begin to undertake the work and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem than Sanballat and Tobiah showed up to try to destroy it. He had never met Sanballat and Tobiah, had no idea who they were till he started fulfilling the will of God for his life. And I promise you, when you begin to walk in the path that God has set for you and you begin to fulfill the will of God for your life, your Sanballat and your Tobiah, they're on their way. Like what Nehemiah said to it when they tried to call him down off the wall. He said, we're doing a good work. Why should we come down and talk to you? Amen. Amen. Jesus was born. Almost the greatest event in human history. You say, I thought that was the greatest event. No, the greatest event was when he got up out of that grave. Amen. Purchase my salvation free and clear. Glory to God. Somebody ought to get happy right there. But no sooner did Jesus get here than Herod started killing babies in case he might get Jesus. No sooner did Jesus begin his earthly ministry till the scribes and the filthy Pharisees went to work. What I'm saying is, as soon as you find and start doing the will of God for your life, opposition is on its way. We are not going to do this thing without a fight. If you're a Christian, you have an adversary against your marriage. If you're a Christian, you have an adversary against your children. Amen. Finding God's will is exciting. Knowing what God wants you to do is exciting. Starting a new ministry, like teaching your first Sunday school class, whatever the case may be, that's exciting. CJ's not here tonight, but he came bebopping in the other night. He is all excited. He's been helping in Sunday school. And he come up and he said, Brother Eddie, I got a friend who's a power lifter. I said, what's that? He said, you know, they're Christians and they go around talking to young people and they lift weights and all that. I said, as long as they don't come in here naked. And he got the right Bible. Brother Thomas told me this morning, said, I started to get that guy. He's ripping phone books in half. This dude's bad. I didn't know it until after church, but he's the strongest man in the state of Georgia right now. I mean, the dude's bad, son. Thomas said, I started to get him to rip an NIV in half. I said, better be careful. He may read one. But I think they told him about it, and he thought it was funny. But CJ was so excited, man, about having that guy come. I mean, boy, he is fired up. It's exciting starting a work for God. But no sooner do you start that work, you're headed down the road God would have you travel. But coming the other way, you can bank on her son as a head-on collision. We give you several things tonight regarding the adversary of your assignment. If God hasn't given you an assignment, you might better be looking for it. Because He didn't save any of us to see it. He saved us all to serve in some capacity.
Amen.
Several things about your adversary you need to understand. Your adversary's first objective is to change your focus. Your adversary's first objective is to change your focus. How many of you would admit when you got busy for God, it seemed like all hell broke loose on every front, every little nitpicking thing tried to hinder and disturb. You know what He's trying to get you to do? He's trying to get you to look at something else.
Amen.
Some of y'all get so upset when somebody talks to you, you big baby, or talks about you. Let me say it again, you big baby.
Amen.
Wah, wah, wah. Somebody call a wambulance, amen? Somebody's going to talk about you. Especially if you've decided to do something for God, somebody will run their mouth. Don't pay it any attention.
Yes, sir.
What the devil's trying to do. He's trying to get your focus off that Sunday school class. He's trying to get your focus off that bus route. He's trying to get your focus off that visitation. He's trying to get your focus off of that food ministry or whatever it is you're involved in. And he's trying to get you to look at some little nitpicking thing that will be forgotten 20 years from now. But the work we're involved in won't be forgotten for an eternity. Amen. So let's keep our focus where our focus ought to be. Do you know one of the hardest things for me as a pastor? To focus on what God called me to do. God called me to preach. Did you know that ought to be my main concern? As preachers, we get all sidetracked into building this ministry and building that ministry and doing this and doing that and building programs. My job is to preach.
Amen.
And I hope I'm earning my living. I hope. But that's my job. That's where my focus has got to be. When I walk out of this pulpit tonight, my focus has got to be on Wednesday night. And when I walk out of it on Wednesday night, I got to preach again Thursday and Friday. My focus better be on Thursday. When I walk out on Thursday, it better be on Friday. And when I walk out on Friday, it better be on Sunday.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I can't wait till 5 minutes before church like some of you do with your Sunday school lesson. And say, I better get ready. Amen.
Amen.
I know we all get in a tight from time to time. Amen. But His objective is to interrupt or change your focus. Some of you are paying way too much attention to something else other than what God has called you to do. You've got your mind wrapped around the gossip line. You're more concerned about where somebody else is messing up in their life, and the devil has got you, he's got you, he's got you. You better get your eye back on the prize. The whole world goes to hell in a handbag. I'm going to preach. If y'all all get together at the Waffle House after church and talk about the preacher, I'm gonna preach. Talk, gossip, lie, whatever you want to do. I've got to keep my focus on preaching that book. Amen. I hope we're okay. Number two, every step in the right direction will usually be met head on by your adversary. Would you agree? Every step in the right direction will usually be met head on by your adversary. That is part of it, folks. That's why Paul said earnestly contend for the faith. That's why he said to war a good warfare as a soldier. That's why he told us to be good soldiers. Hey man, this thing is not a nursery rhyme. This thing is not a day at Six Flags. It is a battle.
Yes, sir.
And if we don't fight it and we don't fight it diligently, we will lose.
Yeah.
Amen. Got a little conflict going on? Good. Somebody talking about you behind your back? Good. That means the enemy's on the job.
Yeah, preach, bro.
Are you?
Yeah.
A wise old man once said, just remember, when they're kicking you in the tail, you must still be out front.
Yeah.
Amen. I wouldn't tell that on Sunday morning, but I'll tell you tonight. Amen. Expect it. Keep your focus. Expect it. It's coming. Do you know what they do as a strategy in the armed forces during a war? They do things to create diversions. Is that right, Brother Greg?
Yes.
They do things to create a diversion. You know what a diversion is? Something to get you to look over there while they hit you wide open from over here. And that's what the devil's doing. He's trying to create a diversion. Hey, he's trying to get you to, I'm back on that focus thing, okay? He's trying to get you to look at somebody else's marriage while he's tearing yours all to pieces.
Yeah, great.
He's trying to get you to focus on somebody else's kid while he's dragging yours off into hell.
Yeah.
He's trying to get you to criticize somebody else's bus route, hey, while you're neglecting your own.
Amen.
Let's keep our focus. Let's expect Him to meet us head on.
Amen.
With His sword drawn. He don't play nice. You understand that? He don't play nice. Why come He never hits you with stuff that don't bother you anyway? Have you ever noticed that? Because He knows what your weakness is. If your weakness is that mouth is hinged at both ends and that tongue is 175 foot long, He's going to give you an avenue to use it. Amen. Hey, listen, I speak from experience. I am a talker. I am my mother's child. I can talk with, I hang with you.
Amen.
That's why I don't like to talk to mama on the phone. It's a fight to see who gets to do the talking. She talks, then I start to tell her something. Well, I got to let you go. Doggone it, she won again. That talking can be a gift. But that gift can be a two-edged sword.
Yeah.
It can be used for good or it can be used for evil.
Amen. That's good preaching.
I'm going to try my best to keep using it for good. Amen.
Amen.
Number one, I said your enemy's trying to get your attention somewhere else, to get you to lose your focus. Number two, I said every step in the right direction, you're going to be met head on by the devil. So don't think, oh, I'm just trying to do right. Hey, man, that's a good sign. That's a good sign. Number three. When your adversary rears his ugly head, we need to immediately discern or decide the worth of our adversary. We need to decide what's more important here. Are you with me? We need to decide what's more important. Brother Robbie made me mad, and I'm not going to get on my bus. What's more important, Brother Robbie making you mad?
Them kids.
Or them little old boys and girls?
Yeah.
Come on, talk to me now.
Yeah.
My wife and I went to Walmart today. They're back in the nursery tonight. But we went to Walmart today and had to pick up some things. And she said, let's just eat Subway while we're here. So we got up there and they built us a little sandwich. This little girl waited on us all the way down the line, putting all, you know how they do, like an assembly line. And we got to the register and I was paying. And she looked up at me and grinned. She said, you still preaching at Happy Valley? I said, yeah. I said, I hadn't seen you in a while. Well, as soon as she said that, I recognized I couldn't call her name. She was one of our bus kids.
Yeah.
Huh? Princess. That was Princess. Hallelujah. I said, I love you, hon. She said, I love you too. That's important.
Yeah. Amen.
That's important.
Yeah.
Grip came back. God only knows why, but grip came back. He ain't been nothing but a handful of, I don't even want to say it, since he got back. I walked out of my office this morning, there he's sitting in the chair. Trouble again. I said, I want to slap you upside your head. And I went to rub him on the head, and he thought I would. You know what I did? I told that boy I loved him. I told him, I said, son, what you're doing ain't right. These people care about you, and they're trying to help you.
Amen.
It ain't right you treat the people that love you like that.
Amen.
Man, we gotta keep it going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Amen.
And when it comes to the place to where your gossip and lies are worth more of my attention than preaching that book, I'm in trouble. When it gets to the place where a fuss, a fight, an argument, even a disagreement, you know that's what splits churches? People can't agree. Man, we had about 300 folks here this morning. There ain't no way everybody's going to think the same all the time. We're going to disagree. But I'm going on whether you like it or not. Why? Because it's not worth fighting over. There's bigger fish to fry. There's more important things. Discern the worth of your adversary. And if you'll look at it honestly, you'll say that it's not worth my attention.
Amen.
And by the way, if you got time to type something about somebody on a Facebook, you need something to do. You need a hobby. I don't know why I'm saying them. Somebody will go home and clean them up.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
People love to come tell me what these kids got on their Facebook. What some of these kids got on their Facebook don't bother me near as much as what some of these adults got on their Facebook.
Yeah.
That's true, sir.
Amen.
Discern the worth of it. I would tell you something real funny, Brother Todd's gone on his. He's bragging on Hayden and what he did. But anyway, discern the worth of your enemy. Number four, always remember, when the enemy shows up, it usually brings about change in your life. Something's fixing to happen. The Israelites would probably still be in Israel today had their taskmasters not been so cruel against them.
Yeah.
It was the cruelty that drove them out. Am I right about it? Change was fixing to take place in their life. Sometimes it's the battles and the fight that brings us to where God wants us to be. Do you understand that? Number five. your adversary, your enemy, when he shows up, remind you, you still need God. If we didn't have difficulty, if we didn't have battles, if we didn't have fights, if we didn't have junk we have to face day in and day out, we'd be so cotton picking full of ourselves, we wouldn't think we needed God. But I'm here to tell you, I need God for what I got to face tomorrow. I need God for what I got to face throughout this week. I need to be totally dependent on Him for everything. The more battles I fight and the more valleys I walk through, I realize the more insignificant I am.
Amen.
And how great He is.
Amen.
Do you understand how unworthy I felt yesterday morning? Totally, totally unworthy to stand and preach that man's funeral. By the way, we all are.
Amen.
But you know what it made me realize? God, I need You. When they put that boy in a helicopter in Mike Bullock's front yard, not knowing whether he would live or die, God, I need You. When those finances mount up, and we can't meet the burden, God, I need You.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Our adversary will cause us to realize we still need God.
Amen.
Even though we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, we still need God.
Amen.
I'll give you an example. Several years ago, somebody told me that they were about to come into a large sum of money. And here's what they said. Faithful, faithful, faithful people. As soon as we get that money, we're going to help the church, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. They got the money, a brand new car, and didn't see them no more. Why? When they was poor, they loved Him. When they're struggling to pay the bills, they loved Him.
Yeah, preacher.
But when the cash come in and they could go to Florida and they could buy a new automobile and they could purchase a brand new home and they could do all the things that money will do, all of a sudden they didn't need God anymore.
Yeah,
I believe with all my heart America's going through what it's going through to get her on her knees.
Yes.
Newt Gingrich was on the television the other night and my wife recorded it, and boy, he went on and on about how this nation needs God. I mean, boy, he was letting it rip, son. I wish y'all could hear it. It was awesome. But you ain't hearing too many of them make those kind of statements. You know why? They're still getting a paycheck. You want to see them get humble? Let's cut their pay.
Amen.
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 The arrival or the appearance of the enemy shows us that we still need God. Number six. The adversary showing up on our doorstep, in many cases, is our doorway to a promotion. The adversary showing up where we live or in our life. Listen, there would have been no King David had there not been a Goliath. Do you understand that? What lifted David to such public awareness? What caused him to gain favor with the nation of Israel? He put Goliath on his back. Amen. You know what that did? That opened the door. Sometimes if we won't run in the face of our enemy and we won't lose focus in the face of our enemy and we'll realize we need God in the face of our enemy. You know what David said to Goliath? You ever had to face any giants in your life? I got some I'm facing right now. David didn't say, "Why, you a sorry, uncircumcised Philistine, I'm fixing to tear you a new one." That ain't what he said. He said, "This day, my God will deliver you into my hand." Here in a few minutes, you're going to be like that lion and you're going to be like that bear and I'm going to be holding your big ugly head by your hair. Sure enough, I've heard preachers say this for years and years and years, but it is amazing to me that David hit him with a rock in the front of his head, but he fell that way. I like that one, what that one preacher said, while that rock was coming that way, the hand of God was coming that way. Pow.
Amen.
Amen. Your adversary can cause your future to become obvious. Amen. It became clearly, clearly visible that David was to be a warrior. Beforehand, his brother's making fun of him. He can't even wear the armor. I bet they weren't making fun when he was holding that giant's head in his hand. Wasn't long, they were singing and dancing in the street. They were writing songs about him, singing, "Saul has slain his thousand. Oh, but David is 10,000. Amen. Sometimes when the enemy shows up, we need to start paying attention because God may be preparing us for what He wants us to become or to be. We all right? I don't want to repeat myself. I got a little ahead of myself a while ago, but number 7. Sometimes finding God's will drives our adversary into the open. During those 33 pretty much silent years of Christ, we don't read anything about the mountain of temptation. We don't read anything about the scribes and the Pharisees trying to destroy Him. But as soon as He come up out of that water and the Spirit descended like a dove and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son," Katie barred the door. You see, as long as we're idle, as long as we're doing nothing, He don't care. We're not a threat. But you make up your mind that you're going to serve God. I prayed this afternoon in the prayer room for Deanne, Brother Jason's sister. She stood right back there in her seat this morning, tears running down her face, and she said, "I want to learn how to study my Bible, and I want to get close to God." And I thought, "Oh Lord, here He comes." Soon as she voiced that, I said, "God, you give her strength, because the devil's going to get her, hit her head on and give her every excuse in the world not to."
That's right.
Amen. That's the truth. Amen. I'd stow us in as a side note. You know what would destroy that probably quicker than anything? Somebody in this place say something about her or her mama or her family.
Amen. That's good.
And if you do, you don't want these ears to hear it.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Help yourself.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, the devil's going to throw something at her.
Amen.
God forbid he use us to do it.
Amen.
I don't want to be part of her adversary. I want to be part of her advocate.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
I don't want to push her down. I want to pull her up.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Good preacher.
It'll drive him in the open. I'm going to stop right there. Have you got an enemy? Have you?
Amen.
Something you've been battling? You better get your eyes off of it.
Amen.
You better get your eyes back on God. Because He'll use whatever this is. Isn't it amazing how He can use most anything?
Yeah.
Most anything. I've heard Him, heard of Him splitting and tearing churches all to pieces over what color roofing they're going to put on their building. There's a church somewhere in Alabama got a charcoal colored roof on one side and a green roof on the other. I'm telling you the truth. There's an old gospel song, old southern gospel song. Brother Todd may know about the piano. Where we going to put the piano? Who we going to get to play?
Yeah.
Tore the whole church up because they got rid of the piano.
Yeah.
Finally in the song, somebody smart enough say, let's get rid of the cotton picking thing.
Yeah.
We got along fine before we got it. Amen. Let's keep our attention where it ought to be.
Amen.
Let's keep praying for one another.
Yes.
Amen. Listen, if the devil's attacking you, that's a good sign. You're going in the right direction.
Amen.
But sometimes the adversary will use his tactics against you to discourage you and cause you to quit. But if he's fighting, we're doing right. We're still doing right. And we're going to keep trying to do right. I promise you, I'll give you this, my word. I promise you, I'll try to keep my focus where it ought to be. Will you try to keep your focus where it ought to be?
Yes,
deal?
Amen.
Let's realize the enemy for what he is.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 5 said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
He said it's spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
A lot of this demonic stuff in these movies Hollywood's portraying ain't far off. If the scales were lifted off our eyes and we could see what's actually going on around us, it'd blow your mind.
Amen.
It'd blow Hollywood's mind. They're out there. They're waiting on us when we walk through these doors. You ever got in the vehicle after an awesome service? I mean, laid in the altar and cried and snotted and I mean just God all over the place.
Yeah.
Get in the car and have the worst fight with your wife you've had in years. He's waiting on you in the car. He's waiting on you in the car. Brother Todd, if you'd come. Sister Janice, maybe you and Bibba could sing a verse. Listen, if you don't think the enemy's real, you've got another thing coming. He's real. Our advocate is real. Our adversary is real, but so is our advocate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm going to tell you something. Y'all probably going to think I finally went over the deep end. But when Hayden was in the hospital, the worst night he had when he was so, so very sick, Ashley said he reached up in his little bed and he said, look, Mommy, hand. She said, Daddy, do you think? I said, no, I know. I believe sometimes the Lord allows those little children to see something we don't see. I've always thought that. You ever had one of your children have an imaginary friend? And they're as real to them as you are? Food for thought. Levi had one went everywhere he went.
Yes, sir.
It could do anything. Walk through walls, jump over the house. Little children are confused and scared a lot because they don't know what's happening. believe the Lord lets them see some things. And if that's real, so's the devil. So's the devil. He's real. He wants to tear our church up. He wants to tear our church up so bad. And I vowed before God, I'm going to keep telling on him. I'm going to keep telling on him. When I see his head stick up in this place, I'm going to point him out. And I'm going to say, hey, it's not Sister so-and-so, and it's not Brother so-and-so. It's the devil. It's our enemy. Let's focus again. Get a proper vision of what God's got us here to do. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Sister Amanda, do you have your hand up to testify? Okay, go right ahead.